the book of Jude. And also just want to remind you that we have a Vista Woods nursing home service tomorrow evening. And if you want to go to that, participate in that, that is about 5 till 7. We meet here at the church and go over there for a service. And so if you want to participate in that, please come ahead tomorrow evening. All right, Jude, verses 1 through 3. Last Sunday night, we preached a message on exhorting to contend. And that was the part that we focused on. This morning, we're going to look at contend for the faith. We need to be contending, but we have to be contending for the right thing, contending with a purpose. And so if you weren't here last Sunday night, go back on YouTube, listen to the message, because it was the basis, the setting for what's being preached this morning. And the Bible says this: Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Who is the book written to? Saved or lost people? Saved people, sanctified people, preserved in Jesus Christ people. Mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith was to who? The saints. Who is the gospel for? The world. The gospel is for the entire world. The gospel is preached to the entire world. The faith is for the saints. And we're going to look at what the faith is this morning, and then we are going to look at contending for that faith. It is absolutely vital that we get this. I hope that you'll grasp on to every verse that's read and the message that's preached, and you'll let God work in your heart, because if you're here and you're saved, you ought to be contending for the faith. It's great to talk about being saved, but we have a duty that goes further than just being saved, and that is contending for the faith. Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning. I pray that the message would be clear. I pray that it would be helpful, and I pray that we are here today with open hearts, ready to hear your word and encourage us and exhort us to contend for the faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The faith was delivered. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes from the Word of God. The faith was delivered to us. It was not discovered. It was delivered. It was not invented by the church. It was delivered from God through the penman that wrote the scriptures. The faith is the scriptures. It was once delivered. It did not evolve over centuries at the whim of church councils. Isn't it amazing how religion changes from month to month and year to year and decade to decade? The Word of God has not changed since it was completed. It is still there. We have it today, and it has not changed, and we don't need to be worried about changing it. The Word of God is not to be altered. It is not to be amended. It is to be contended for. Understand that. We're not here to change the book. We're here to contend for the book. What is the faith? 1 Corinthians 11:23 says this: For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Paul says, I received this from the Lord, and I delivered it to the saints, to you. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Paul says, I was received something and I delivered it to you. God gave him the words to write in 1 Corinthians. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 40 says, And look that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount. So God gave Moses, he delivered him a pattern, and Moses wrote that pattern down, and they made the tabernacle according to that pattern. He received it from God. It was delivered to him. 1 Chronicles 28:19 says, "All this, said David, the Lord made me to understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." And again, God giving him a pattern delivered to him. He writes it down. We have it today. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, "God, who at sundry times," that means various times, "and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." It says God spoke. God gave us the Word of God. It was delivered, and it was delivered to Moses, to the prophets, to the saints. Ultimately, it was delivered to us. Hebrews 2, 3, and 4 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will." Jude here is saying, I am writing to saved people that you need to contend for the faith, and you need to earnestly contend for the faith, and the faith is the Word of God. We are to contend for all of the Word of God. Every verse, every piece. So the faith was given to the saints. We are to be custodians, if you will, of the faith. Now, God promised to preserve it. He'll do that part. But God gave us a job, and that job is as the church. Look at I'll read it. 1 Timothy 3:15. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." You know, what's the truth? The book is the truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus is the living word. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we are given as a church to be custodians for the truth of the word of God. Look, we see in Jude, he says, I gave diligence to write unto you. Who? Those that are sanctified by the Father. Who? Those that are preserved in Jesus Christ. He says, I gave diligence and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You know, we're not looking for more of the Word of God. We've got it. It's delivered. It was once delivered. It's good. It's still good today, some 2,000 years later. It's still truth today, some 2,000 years later, because truth never alters. Truth never alters. Look, this is not written to the educated. It's not written to the priests or fathers. It is not written to masters or people with master's degrees. It's not written to people with doctorates. It's not written to the Nicolaitans that hold themselves to be higher and above everybody else, and they're the only ones that can understand it, and you can't understand it, so you shouldn't read it. You should just let us tell you what it means. No, it was delivered to every single one of you. You have the Word of God in your hands, and you ought to read it every single day of your life, and every so often you ought to read it from cover to cover over the course of a period of time. And if you want to do that in 6 months, great. If you want to do that in a year, great. But you ought to know what's in there, because you are to contend for the faith. How can you contend for something that you don't know what's in it? It is for every child of God to receive, to understand, to trust in, to proclaim, to search, to study, to defend, and then to earnestly contend for. Look, the world is not going to bring you a box of candy and thank you for your stand against sin and for telling them that there's a hell and there's sinners on their way to hell. Everybody's not wanting to deal with their sin. They don't want to be let be known of the fact that there is a hell and they're headed there, and the only way out is the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Worldly Christians are not writing thank you notes for your stand against carnality. Thank you for pointing out my sin. You ever get one of those? I don't think I've ever gotten one of those. But you know what? We need to be contending for the faith. You know, you take the whole of this, and we're contending for all of the Word of God. Now, Satan wants to overthrow the faith. 2 Timothy 2:18 says, "Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Here come along a couple guys. Paul names them out by name, and he says, these guys came in and said, "Boy, the resurrection's already past. You missed it." And when people thought that, they thought, well, what's left for us? You know, a lot of those people, we would call them today amillennialists. The tribulation already passed. Well, where's the millennium? If it already passed, where's the millennium? If everything written in Revelation, the book of Revelation, passed and took place before 70 AD, which, by the way, Revelation wasn't written until about 90-something AD. But you look at that, and it's like, if that already passed, then the millennium was supposed to happen right after that. And anybody seen Jesus reigning recently? No. And what they were doing was mixing up a timeline, and it was causing people to stumble in their faith. That's the work of Satan. Anything that seeks to undermine faith in the Word of God is the work of Satan. Satan desires to overthrow the faith. And instead of contending, many churches have completely surrendered to the world. We don't want that to be our church. I say we. I hope that it's we. I don't want it. I know many of you don't. I hope that the whole of us today can say, we don't want to be a church that surrenders to the wickedness of the world. When comparing devoted contenders in the contest between God and Satan, in the contest between good and evil, holiness and depravity, let me just pause here a moment. You know, people contend in all kinds of things. Anybody ever play sports? Yep. And when you go out there to what?
Win.
To contend, right? Your goal is to win. Now, look, honestly, when it's all said and done, how important is a football game? Now, when you go out and play, I think you ought to play your hardest. I think you ought to play to win. I hate this soccer mom stuff. Okay, go out there, play to win. But when it's all said and done, people contend. But you know what? People will practice Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night to play a game that in the end scheme of things, it really doesn't matter. I'm not opposed to that game. But we have something more vital to contend for. We're contending for the faith. But boy, if we were to say, you know what? We're going to have practice on Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night. People would be like, that's too much. But they'll do it for a game. Maybe we're a little bit off on our priorities. We've got missions conference coming up next Sunday. And guess what? We're going to have Sunday night, missions conference, we're Sunday morning, but Sunday night missions conference, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, we're having missions conference. We're focusing on missions and the need for the gospel to go around the world. We will be contending for the faith. Are you going to be here for practice? Are you going to be here for the things that matter? We need to contend for the faith. But in this contest, I want to ask four questions. And you think in yourself the answer to these questions. Are there more saved or lost people in our town? We know the answer to that. Second question, are there more people who go to unscriptural churches or to biblical churches in our town? Third question, in the scriptural churches, are there more people who attend every service or who attend one service per week? Of those who attend all services, are there more who participate in evangelistical outreach or more who do not participate? Now, that doesn't mean you have to be here on Saturday to go out door knocking. You can witness any day of the week, and you can participate in evangelistical outreach outside of appointed times. And if you're doing that, I'm thrilled about that. But what we see here by asking these four questions, how much and how serious are we about contending for the faith? It's revealing, isn't it? And if that's the state here, where we strive to hold this book and hold fast the faithful word, what is it in a lot of other places where they don't even believe they have a preserved word of God? Jude tells us that all saints are to earnestly contend for the faith. Say, we talk of salvation by grace, and people smile and say, amen, that's good. We talk of holy Christian living, and the smiles turn to frowns, and we say, oh, me. I didn't really sign up for that. We look at this, we say, who's going to come out on top in this world? Is it going to be the Mormons? The Jehovah Witnesses? Is it going to be the Libertines? Is it going to be the Antinomianists? So what's that? People that say we can still sin because it's all under grace. That's an Antinomianist. There's your big word for the day. I don't use a lot of them, but we dealt with it in an institute not too long ago, so it was there. Look, we can't give up on any part of the faith. If someone suggests in our services worldly music, if someone suggests turning the auditorium into a nightclub to attract more people, if someone suggests using a modern translation, if someone suggests doing away with godly biblical standards, it's time for a holy quarrel. It's time for some people to contend for the faith. Now, Brother Schrock's not going to do this, but about the time that he brings in a CCM song, we're going to be contending. There's going to be some contention at that point in time. About the time that he brings in and says, hey, for our teen activity this week, all the guys and girls are going swimming together. We're going to have some contending going on. Now, he's not going to do that. He wouldn't do that. But we're going to be contending for some things, right? People defend their opinion on what's the best gun. Right? I've heard some of these conversations. Oh, this one's better than this one. The best car. Ford, Chevy, Dodge, none of the above. The best political candidate. Who was better, Larry Bird or Michael Jordan? Who was better? See, man, there's contention. Look. Look at the contention right down here. It's going on. But will we contend for the God-given faith? Look, we defend the virgin birth. And we contend for it. And you would be amazed at how many Bible institutions across our country are trying to do away with the virgin birth. We contend for the deity of Christ. The entire cult of the Jehovah Witnesses have literally rewritten the Bible to try to do away with the deity of Christ. And every time they try to get every verse, they can't get them all because there's just another one pops up. That's always been there, but you find them. Look, we contend for the inspired, preserved Word of God. It is absolutely perfect. We don't have to go changing it. And we're going to contend for it. And there's places where can't send anybody to that Bible college anymore. The Dean of Education rewrote the Bible. Sorry, we're contending for the Word. We contend for Jesus as the only way to heaven. There are not multiple ways to get there. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We contend for baptism by immersion as a display of one's faith. Somebody says baptism saves, we got some contending going on. Right. Baptism does not save. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a picture of the fact that I believed in Jesus Christ. I died to my sins. I am buried and raised to walk in newness of life. We're going to contend for that. And I'm going to contend that every saved person ought to be baptized. Every one of them. And every saved person ought to join a Bible-believing Baptist church. We're contending for the faith. And so, well, oh, those are all great things. You know, we must also stand against sin as all of the Bible is part of the faith. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, is reproving the unfruitful works of darkness part of the faith? Is it in the Word of God? You know what? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Some Christian comes along, some Christian, sometimes it can be both in this day and age, comes along and says, you know, it's okay to drink a little wine. Well, my Bible says, look not at the wine. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Somebody comes along, oh, smoking, that's not a big deal. Oh, yes, it is, because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You shouldn't be destroying your body. Gluttony would fall in that too. Did I say that? So we have to be careful to, you know what? The Bible says, flee fornication. Well, it's okay if we live together before we're married. No, it's not. We are going to contend for the faith, and that is part of the faith. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of some is, you know, all the way back 2,000 years ago when Hebrews was written, people were already forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Yeah, it's not that important. Yeah, it is. We're going to contend for the faith. You know, we're nearing the end of the school year. So I'm going to take the opportunity to say there's this party coming up at the end of the school year. It's called prom. Mm-hmm. So, oh, you're going to go there? Yeah, I'm going to go there. What business does any Christian have going to prom? The music is wrong. You seen the prom dresses? The dresses are wrong. Does the Bible still say it's good for a man not to touch a woman unless they're married? Yeah, so the dancing is wrong. The buildup of sensual lust that's going on in that dancing is wrong. And then talk to hotel workers. Guess how many rooms are booked on prom night? Because the whole thing leads up to that wicked debauchery of sin. And you know what? Christians don't belong going to prom. How different is it from a nightclub? See, we look at say, well, everybody's going. Yeah, and half the world's going to hell. Are you going to go there too? Well, everybody's doing it. Well, how many of them are drinking? You going to do that too? See, we look at this and we have to understand we are to contend for the faith. Christians don't belong in that environment. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin rebuke before all that others also may fear. You know, from the 1940s to the 1980s, churches had incredible growth. They were focusing largely on preaching the common salvation. And, oh, you know what? Pray this prayer and you'll go to heaven. You know, salvation is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you do have to realize that you're a sinner on your way to hell. You have to realize that you need saving. And when you realize you need saving, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And you call out to Jesus to be saved. And really, He did all the work. Salvation's simple. But you know what often is missing? Often they did not name sin and rebuke it. And so what you have is a whole lot of people who gladly got saved, but they never learned to contend for the faith. In this book of Jude, Jude's saying, I'm writing to the saved people, and I'm exhorting you to earnestly contend for all of the Word of God, not just salvation, not just the doctrines that are easy. Contend for all of the Word of God. And you know what happens? If people never become contenders, it's very easy for them just to slip back into the world. But if you have stood in contention against the world, it's harder to slip back into the world. If you went and you got saved and all of a sudden you're saying, you know, friends, I'm not drinking with you anymore because the Bible says we shouldn't be drinking. Yeah, I'm not participating in that dirty language anymore. God changed my life. And you go out there and you start proclaiming and contending for the faith, it's going to be harder for you to just slip back into the world. But those who never become contenders, basically, they gladly got saved, but they didn't want to change their life. And it's so easy to slip back into the world because they never were on the, they never joined the team. They didn't go to practice. And they're sitting on the bench. And people who sit on the bench and never go out and play because maybe they didn't show up for the practices, are they going to stay with the team for long? Titus 1, if you'll turn there. Titus 1. Verse 9 through 11. It says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince who? The gainsayers. I'll define that in a minute. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcisions, whose mouths must be what? Stopped. Sounds like there's some contending going on here, doesn't it? Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Gainsayers are those who cease to contend for all of the Word of God for filthy lucre's sake. Filthy lucre is money's sake. You know what? I'm going to tell everybody about salvation, but I'm not going to preach against sin because we'll have bigger crowds and the offerings will be better if we just don't talk about sin. I don't want to be a part of that church. Gainsayers are unruly people who want to be told salvation is all that matters, but don't tell us how to live a godly life. I'm going to read some verses, then we'll go back to Jude and finish out. these verses all have to deal with the faith. I'm just going to read them for time's sake. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Does it sound like getting saved and living the Christian life has a lack of contention? Just an easy going life? No. Romans 1:5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Obedience to the faith. Now, let me just lay this out here. We talked about the virgin birth as part of the faith. How do you obey that? We talked about salvation by grace through faith as part of the faith. The preservation of the Word of God is part of the faith. But the preservation of the Word of God is a fact of doctrine. We can contend for it, but how do we obey that? See, obedience has to do with all those other verses in the Bible that tell us how to live. The faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. He says, look, take a look inside. Are you saved? But it's more than that. Are you in the faith? Are you living the faith? Ephesians 4:13, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Anybody done a comparison recently how we're measuring up to Jesus Christ? Colossians 1:23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Boy, you get this, you read it, you shouldn't doubt what it says. Just believe it and hang on to it. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, it breaks my heart when I see somebody who was raised up in the faith and all of a sudden they get free from their parents and, oh, we don't want the faith anymore. 1 Timothy 4:1, this shifts gears. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The devil's after people, wants them departing from the faith. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Men have a job to provide for their family. And if they don't do that, they're denying the faith. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How many know a Christian that left the faith because of money? Yeah. But the Apostle Paul proclaims at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. That's where we want to be. I'm 51. I don't know how many years I've got left. But can I get to the end of life and say I've kept the faith? We're not talking about sinless perfection. None of us have that. We're talking about staying with the book, not bending. When the entire world bends, we're still going to be contending. Are you in the game? And I don't want to belittle the faith by saying the word game. Are you in the contest for the faith? Or are you just going through life a very mediocre, lukewarm Christian and you haven't contended for anything in the book in a long, long time? Jude says, beloved, verse 3, When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We take the gospel to the world. We contend for the faith as saints. The world's not contending for the faith. That's our job. And it's all of us. Come back tonight, we're going to see why we need to contend for the faith. Because there are creepy men. Certain men crept in unawares. I hope that you'll come. Boy, this book of Jude, as we study it and look at it, and get the message. It blows my mind that this book had to be written that long ago. I completely get it now. But the fact it had to be written that long ago, the attack against the faith was going on that long ago. And we'll see tonight, book after book after book after book after book in the Bible show that attack against the faith and why there has to be an earnest contention. And how many would agree? Most religious groups are not contending anymore. Don't let that be us. We need to contend for the faith. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we ask the invitation now, God, that you would just help us. Father, help us all to